So our New Testament reading will be Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. 26 through 45. This is God's inerrant word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his..." We will call his name Jesus. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leapt for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. "'Tis the season for singing." Can you guys finish these lyrics for me? "Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell." All right. "Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny..." Very nice. Hit that note. "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." Thank you. "'Tis the season for singing." And I actually have a song I want to teach you today during the sermon. We'll see how this goes. It's a good song to sing at Christmas. I'll sing it a few times throughout the sermon, and then at the end, we can try to sing it together at the end. Will y'all try to learn this song with me? Okay. So the song is called "The First Song of Isaiah." And it's from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. It goes like this. "Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my savior." Have you heard this before? All right, well, you'll hear it a few more times, then we'll try it at the end. Okay. So singing and Christmas go hand in hand. Christmas carols, Christmas hymns, Christmas songs on the radio. Singing and Christmas are so synonymous that some of us go crazy when we hear stores and radio stations and maybe even our friends playing Christmas music as early as Halloween. Singing and Christmas certainly go hand in hand. But it's not just Christmas. Humans sing all the time, from birthday parties to funerals, from weddings to sporting events, and even in the shower or driving in your car, songs are an important part of our everyday life. Have you ever stopped to consider, why do we sing? Next Sunday, we're going to take a look at one of the most famous songs of all time, Mary's song in Luke 1, also known as the Magnificat. It's a song of joy, a song of thanksgiving, a song that we can sing with Mary. But today, we're going to look at the story behind Mary's song from Luke 1. And we really only have one main point today and one point of application. Our main point today is that Jesus is the reason we sing. Jesus is the reason we sing. But before we get there, let's consider an overarching view of singing in the Bible. You could also call this a biblical theology of singing. So from the beginning, we were made to sing. Even before God created Adam and Eve, the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. One of the first men on the earth, Jubal, became the father of those who play the lyre and pipe. When God rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt, Moses composed a song on the banks of the Red Sea. The song was so good that the prophetess Miriam took a tambourine in her hand and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." So throughout the history of God's people, singing not only marked important celebrations, but singing was also a form of warfare. When God's people were surrounded by enemies on all sides, King Jehoshaphat appointed a choir to go in front of the army. Would you be a little nervous being that choir going up against another army? Well, this is what they sang. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, so that they were routed. It's from 2 Chronicles 20. King David is known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. Some of his songs are expressions of joy and praise, like Psalm 108. "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens and your faithfulness to the clouds." David sang on other occasions as well. He sang to confess his darkest sins. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love," from Psalm 51. But he also sang to disclose the despair in his own soul. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 22. So songs are powerful, songs are joyful, and songs are healing. But David isn't the only song-singing king. The Lord Jesus, great David's greater son, is a singer. As a Jew, he would have kept the law perfectly, and Jesus would have been a man of song in doing so. Certainly, he would have obeyed the commands of Psalm 47, which say, "Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises." If anyone had reason to express thanks and praise to God, if anyone had occasion to sing songs of sorrow and pain, it was the Lord Jesus. And on the most intimate night that he shared with his disciples, the Last Supper, he led them in a hymn from Matthew 26:30. After Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we, the church, are now the world leaders in song. Who else has reason to sing like we do? We are commanded in Ephesians 5 to be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And we, the church, anticipate singing in heaven that will never end. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing," from Revelation 5. So as we consider the importance of singing in our lives, why does God command us to sing? It is for his glory and for our joy. Jonathan Edwards said, "God gave us music wholly to excite and express our religious affections." To excite and express our religious affections. When we sing songs based on biblical truth, God is actually molding our emotions to properly delight in him. Singing is powerful. Singing is transformative. So I actually had an experience one time where singing became a weapon of spiritual warfare. In 2016, I had the privilege to lead a mission trip to Turkey. This was from Red Village Church in Wisconsin. And we got to the city and we were visiting our missionary friends. We wanted to encourage them in what they were doing. we wanted to also participate with them in telling people about Jesus in this land. So when we got to the city, it's a place that is mostly, almost 99.9% Muslim. So when you go into a city, you see minarets everywhere from the mosques. And at certain times of the day, what do you hear? The call to prayer over these loudspeakers. So as we're walking through the city at night, there's almost no Christians in the whole city of millions of people. These on the loudspeakers are blaring the call to prayer. It could be a little eerie. You feel like you're not at home there. So as we're walking along, our missionary friend was taking us back to the hotel to kind of tell us goodnight and give us to the place we're staying. And she said, by the way, this is really a dark city. Usually when people come visit here, they have really terrible nightmares. So my advice to you, before you go to bed, pray out loud in the name of Jesus, and you should be okay. So we're all like, okay. So we get up there, and we're having, right before we go to bed with our team, we're having a debrief. We'd always debrief the day. And we all, one by one, team members confessed that we each were really struggling ever since we got into that city. With doubts, with discouragement, with temptations, different thoughts coming in. And we were all felt something very heavy on all of us. So what did we do? We took out God's word, we read from it, we prayed, and we sang a song. We sang, "Be Thou My Vision." So after we sang that song, each of us felt the heaviness completely lift. God did an amazing work. And in that moment, we know God defeated Satan. The word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it was really amazing to see how the singing of a biblical song, God used that. And we ended up having a great trip, a great few days in that city. But that was something I will never forget. So for Christians, singing is a powerful weapon for discipleship and for spiritual warfare. So now that we've looked at singing in the Bible, let's take a look at the background to Mary's song from Luke 1. But we must start in the temple with an old priest, Zechariah. Luke 1 tells us that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. That's from Luke 1, 6 and 7. So they were blameless and they were childless. Certainly, these two elderly saints would have sung songs of lament over the years. In the waiting is where we find them, until one day an angel of the Lord appears and announces something almost too wonderful to believe. Elizabeth would have a child. Let's look at verse 18 of Luke 1 for Zechariah's response. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which would be fulfilled in their time." That's from Luke 18 through 20. So Zechariah hears something so wonderful, something that's for his joy, the child for whom he had prayed and prayed and prayed, and yet he doubted. He asked a question out of doubt. And for his doubt, Gabriel says he will remain silent until the promise is fulfilled and the baby John is born. So that's at least 9 months without talking. That's a long time. Some ladies are like, I wish that could happen maybe for a week or two for my husband. So the response of doubt was silence, right? But as we turn our attention to young Mary, we see the response of faith is song and singing. It's here that we will see our main point for the day, that Jesus is the reason we sing. So let's take a look back at verses 31 through 33. This is what we read earlier. Mary is startled by God's grace as Gabriel announces this. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Here we see three descriptions of Jesus. First, Jesus is the great Savior. Second, Jesus is the Davidic king. And third, Jesus' kingdom has no end. So I'd like us to look at each one in turn so we see the reason that we sing this Christmas. So first, Jesus is the great Savior. What's in a name? Well, the name of Jesus says it all. Jesus was a common name, being the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. But his name is special because it means God saves. God saves. This is the reason we sing, because God saves, because Jesus is our Savior. This is good news. We have all been captured by sin. In our very birth, we are sinners, and by choice, every day, we are sinners. And our sin places us under God's judgment. Even at times like Christmas, we cannot escape our sin nature and the sin natures of those around us. For many of us, we can't escape the terrible effects of the fall when we have someone who won't be at the Christmas table this year. Sin's destructive grip is upon all of us. I did a little research this week. I really don't know what to think about these numbers, but I'll share them with you. I was curious, how many people have ever lived on the earth? I take these numbers with a grain of salt, but several places I saw say they think over 100 billion people have ever lived on the earth. Whether that's exactly true or not, there's at least 7 billion on the earth right now. So we know there's billions and billions of people. Amazingly, there's a baby born in the world once every 5 seconds. So that means during this sermon, there'll be about 6,000 or 7,000 babies born in the world. Isn't that amazing? All of them come out crying. It's a sign of this fallen world, a sign of our sin nature, the brokenness of this world that we have inherited before our birth. We come out crying, but God made us to sing. So however many billions of people that have ever lived, it's amazing to know that each person is unique. How creative is God? Each person, hundreds of billions or billions of billions of people are unique. But each one of us share one thing in common. We are all under sin. We have this same curse that's over us. We have the same death sentence awaiting us. So when you think of all the people who've ever lived, that's a lot of problems. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of sin. And as we see, Jesus is a great Savior. He must be great to take the sin of the world upon himself. His salvation is great. He took the punishment for our sin on the cross. His death is enough to remove the stain of sin for everyone who calls on him. So he is great. His salvation is great. And you can call on him today and have his salvation. Jesus is great because our scripture tells us that he is the Son of the Most High. It would truly take an eternal and all-powerful God to carry the sins of the world. Jesus is equal with God in every way, equal with God the Father, in power, in wisdom, in purity, in mercy, in everything. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He is the God-man. He added humanity to his divinity when he was born on that first Christmas. So come and behold the wondrous mystery of the incarnation of Jesus. He was the one who knows all those billions of people. He created all those billions of people. And yet, he humbled himself so that as a baby, he would have to learn his own name. What a beautiful mystery, the humility of Christ. Jesus is a great Savior. And this Christmas, what do you need saving from? Pride, lust, adultery, deception, anger, murder, cowardice, materialism. The list could go on and on. This Christmas, brothers and sisters, turn from all those things and rejoice in your great Savior. If you trust in Jesus, you can confidently sing with the prophet Isaiah, "Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid, for the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. So Jesus is a great Savior, and Jesus is the Davidic King. We see here in verse 31 and 32, he will sit on the throne of his father David. Jesus is the Davidic king. David was the greatest king of Israel during the Old Testament. He was a courageous warrior. He was a compassionate leader. He was a man after God's own heart. During his reign, the kingdom was consolidated and God's enemies were defeated. But great David sinned greatly. He committed adultery. And then he tried to cover up the pregnancy through murdering righteous Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. Great David was still a great sinner, just like the rest of us. But God promised a king who would come and sit on David's throne, and he would sit there forever. So if the wages of sin is death, the only way that a king could live forever is if he never sinned. He had to be untouched by sin. And this is why it's important that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he did not inherit a sin nature. It was not from Joseph that he came from, but from the Holy Spirit. So he was sinless by birth and sinless in his life. So by his righteousness, he defeated the enemies of God's people, and he brings us peace forever. Jesus accomplished all this by taking sin upon himself at the cross. So born at Christmas, Jesus, the Davidic King, rescues us from all our enemies, from sin and death. And he gives us a reason to sing. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. So we sing because Jesus is a great Savior. We sing because Jesus is the Davidic King. And finally, we sing because Jesus' kingdom has no end. His eternal kingdom gains more wonder the more we remember how temporary everything in this life is. How often do you consider just how pervasive death is? Everything here on this earth will end. This hit me especially hard last Christmas. I remember one day we were up in our playroom back in Alabama, and I looked around. I saw my beautiful wife. I saw my beloved children, and I realized they're all going to die one day. You think about this stunning thought. Every single person you know will die. But it's not just people. Even places that you love will pass away. 1 month ago, I was up at Suwannee, a place I love. I was prayer walking. I was marveling, actually, at the beauty of those buildings. But then it hit me like a ton of bricks. All these buildings are going to fall. The sun, the moon, the stars are going to melt as they burn at the end of all things. In this life, throughout history, most local churches eventually die. And it will only be by God's grace if our fellowship survives until the Lord comes. The wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, rightly assessed this life. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But dear brothers and sisters, we have something better than vanity because we live in a kingdom that has no end. If you're connected to Christ through faith, you're connected to that kingdom that will never pass away. Don't you long for that? Don't you long to live forever, to be a part of something that won't end? Everything in this life ends, but one day, very soon, the sweetest times of fellowship that we have over a meal, the greatest adventures you go on with your friends, the most meaningful things you do at work, and even our good health, all those things will have no end one day. So we can sing with great joy, with all the saints in glory. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Good job. I'm starting to hear it. You got one more chance. We're getting close. So we have a reason to sing joyful songs of thanks and praise this Christmas. Jesus is our great Savior. Jesus is the Davidic King, and Jesus' kingdom has no end. So our one point of application for this sermon, for this Christmas, is this. Sing. Sing the beautiful name of Jesus. Bless his name. Rejoice. Cry aloud. Clap your hands. Dance for joy because Jesus came. Good job, Thomas. Clapping his hands. So let your heart sing. Even if you don't feel like singing, let the singing of biblical songs awaken your heart to glory. Even if you have sorrow this Christmas, preach to yourself through song. Read Luke 1-3 and sing. Memorize Mary's song and sing along with her. Sing the first song of Isaiah that we're learning today. Listen to great Christmas music and sing. Sing by yourself when you're in your car. Sing with your spouse as you start your day. Sing the dinner blessing with your family. Sing away temptation. Sing away unbelief. Sing when you don't feel like it. We have Jesus, so we should sing, sing, sing. Have you ever tried to write a song for the Lord? This is a great week to try to be creative and write your own song or a little poem. Even if you think you're not creative, I encourage you, give it a try. Just write 4 lines. Just try 4 lines. You might be surprised at how much joy it gives you and what creativity God might give you. So what has God done for you? How has the coming of Jesus impacted your life and your family and your eternity? Sing a song about it. Write a new song this week. So as we celebrate Jesus this week, follow in the footsteps of Mary. Trust the word of the Lord and sing of the word made flesh, our Savior Jesus. He is the eternal God, became a helpless baby. The Holy One became the little one. He was born to sing his love song over us. So Merry Christmas, Grace Fellowship. Let's sing our song. Are you ready to join me? Okay. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Very good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you that we can sing songs to you. You have put a song in our heart through sending your son, Jesus. Lord, be glorified in us this week as we celebrate him. Lord, give us new songs to sing, and let this song ring out throughout Cowan, throughout Franklin County, throughout our nation, throughout the whole world, that Jesus is our Savior, and he has come. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.